Blog Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson, and that was Patti LaBelle, Eyes in the Back of My Head. And, you know, sometimes you really do have to have eyes in the back of your head because, you know, somebody be trying to stab you in the back. Sometimes they come around and stab you in the front. But at one point, I had so many knives in my back till there wasn't no room to put no more knives. They started stabbing me in my chest. Yeah, that song, listen to the words of it, too, because she's saying a lot in that song. You know, you're not going to be the death of me, no backstabbers and, you know, all that crazy stuff. But anyway, tonight is open topic, and everybody know we've been on a hiatus for a minute, you know, but now we're back. We're going to be here every first Monday of the month. I mean, every first Friday of the month, excuse me, at 11 p.m., you know, talking about this, talking about that, anything you want to talk about, if you have a topic you want to talk about, if you had a bad day at work, we can talk about that. We can talk about the Atlanta Housewives. We can talk about Love and Hip Hop. Whatever you want to talk about is what we are going to talk about this evening. No matter what it is, it's no holds bars. With that being said, I got my girl, Cherry Lau, on the line.
Hey,
and
guys.
Hi, sweetie. We're going to chop it up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just want to talk about that, you know, backstabbers for a minute because, you know, there's a lot of them out there. You know, they grin all up in your face and, you know,
mm-hmm.
be patting you on the shoulder with one hand and stab you in the back with another hand, you know, and it's crazy. It's really crazy, you know, how people feel that way. And I'm like,
you know, what's really crazy is the fact that, you know, it's the mentality of the people who are sitting there throwing darts and everything at you. Because most of the time, the people who are doing it, they are, you know, they have no moral compass that they follow. And they feel that it's okay to be that way. And that's what kind of gets me when you are dealing with a person and you try to treat them with respect. How can they violate their moral code and just to try to do something just to be mean? I don't get that.
Me neither, girl. I've never understood it. You know, you know, they say, like, when you don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you heard the story about the snake, you know, but, you know, some people, they're just snakes. Once a snake, always a snake. You know, they never change, and some have issues, and, you know, they're jealous of you, envy of you. You know, some of them even want to be you, you know, so... The best they can do is, you know, grin all up in your face and stab you in the back. And I don't like people like that. You know, if you got something to say about me, say it to my face, you know. Because trust and believe, if I got something to say about you, I'm going to say it to your face.
Exactly.
You know.
Some people can't handle the truth. People always say that stuff like, okay, well, you know, come to me, blah, 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 blah. But you know, so when you come to them, they get mad at you because you are bold enough to share your opinion. And I think when you're interacting with people, you ought to be bold enough and tactful enough to, you know, just critique a person or share something so they don't, you know, but people don't want to be pulled up about nothing. You know, they get their butt on their back and everything, and then they thinking you the villain. So, you know, it's very hard in the society that we live in to actually be honest. That's why a lot of people tell white lies, because they want to save your feelings because they don't know how to do it. But those people that are mean and vicious and bitter and nasty, the ones that sit there and chew you up behind your back and sometimes to your face, you know, I don't get that. Those are the kind of things a lot of people receive. So we, you know, we as a people, we need to learn how to have better relationships and to start with communication. You know, and like you said, somebody might want to be you if they only knew of what you had to do, walk through your shoes. Like I tell other people, I said, don't be me. Don't do me. Do you, because what
yep.
you might see might not be the trail, and how, it wasn't easy getting to where I'm at.
Yeah, because I don't really, you know, if somebody want to walk in my shoes, they're more than welcome. But, you know, the life that I you know, live to get to where I'm at wasn't y'all peaches and cream. You know, the road was rough. It had a lot of detours and a lot of, you know, different bumps in it. And, you know, so if you want to be me, you know, go ahead. But trust and believe, all I want to do is be me. I don't want to be anybody else because I know what it is to to be homeless. I know what it is to be hungry. I know what it is to be without, you know, the necessary things that you need in life. I know those things because I've been there. I know what it is to have two babies and sleep in, you know, in a shelter that have big flying roaches in it and smell like piss. You know, I know those things. I know what it's like to be homeless. You see what I'm saying? I know what it's like to not have no food in the refrigerator. You know,
and I see that makes the character of who you are. You know, people want to be you, but what you are is the result of all the struggles that you have survived. You know, it didn't just happen overnight. You know, that, you know, if they want to be you, then they got to go through all the stuff you went through to be you, because everything we go through in life, you know, whether it's the good or the bad, it molds and shapes our, you know, our mental thinking, how we process things. So, you know, being me was not something that happened overnight. It was a struggle of a lot of trials and tribulations and burdens and tears and just like, you know, feeling like, you know, I'm at my wit's end, you know, but God saw me through to be where I'm at today. But it wasn't easy. Don't look at where I'm at. You know, look at the struggle to get here.
Yeah. Well, Jade is here, so let's bring her in on this conversation.
Hey, ladies.
Hi, Jade.
Hey, Jade. What's going on, girl?
How you doing, Mr. Listen?
I am fantastic. Terry's on the line as well.
Of course. I hear you, beautiful ladies.
Oh,
and
thanks.
A fabulous discussion.
Yeah, we're talking about, because the song I had played is, you may have heard me play it before on one of my shows. It's a song by Patti LaBelle singing about eyes in the back of my head. And in that song, she's speaking of backstabbers and, you know, people, you know, just want to, you know, people of that like. So the song, I just, you know, was expressing how people were grinning your face, be stabbing me in the back at the same time. At one point, I had so many knives in my back, they had to start stabbing me in my chest because there was no more room for the knives, you know. And then people want to be you and, you know, are jealous of you, envy of you, you know. So that's basically what we have started the conversation off with.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so if you have any input, feel free to, you know, chime right in, or we can get right on to another topic, because like I said, this is open topic tonight. We're talking about any and everything. You got mad at your boss at work and want to talk about him, you come to the right place, okay? Kids got on your nerve, we'll talk about that. Your lover got on your nerves. Anything
right,
you want to talk about tonight, we're going to talk about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Even if the dog got on y'all nerves.
Mm-hmm. But if you got
talk
him, Lori, you can keep that to yourself.
Yeah,
talk
but, you know, it's...
Well,
yeah, did you say something?
I know that I had shared with you when you decided that you were going to have this show. I said, I really wanted us to discuss some of the things that I was seeing on social media, on pictures and stuff that these ladies are putting out that I'm kind of getting disgusted with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, it'd be fabulous just to bring it up, because you got a lot of these sisters who talk about wanting men. They want to have a man and all the stuff, but they half-ass dress on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
They got
skimpy clothes.
Bright red and black. I do not know. I'm thinking this is a new color thing with this hair, but their weave is now blue. It's bright red.
Pink.
It's like these crazy colors. And I'm like, sisters, first of all of us, all skin color is beautiful, and I think that you need to pick a hair color that blends perfectly well with your skin color, that goes with your, there's ways to pick it out. If you are a big girl, you do, there's a way to dress, and some of y'all be having half-cut shirts. Now, I'm a big gal myself, and I'm not going to have no half-ass cut shirt over my belly, showing my belly off on the camera for everybody to see. Don't nobody need to see my business. And
mm-hmm.
and so that's the things that I see that I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me? And
well, you know, I gotta say this about that. Okay, now I don't want to see nobody's gut. And just like this word says gut, it sounds nasty and looks nasty. But as far as the hair colors, you know, I got an issue with that because me, myself, you know, I've had multicolored hair, and I don't know what someone else's reason for their hair colors, but for me, it's because that's the artistic side of me. That's my expression. I got a energetic and bubbly personality, and when I have different color hair, it's because I just want to be out there. It's nothing about trying to attract a guy or, you know, not making him feel like I'm a turn on because, you know, I work whatever color that I wear. But, you know, there's other people, you know, when they got a different color hair and they got their hoochie shit going on and the thong string showing, that look nasty. You know, I don't do that, you know,
uh-huh.
But we're having coordinating colors to what I'm wearing. I still look like a lady.
But we're excluding you. We're talking about the women out there that think they got it on and always up in some man trying to get some man's attention. But men don't really want to look at women like that.
No, that's right, darling.
You know, because it's a difference if you're just, you know, you're expressing yourself. You ain't out there trying to get no man or nothing like that. And you're doing it, you know, that's because what you want to do. But women who actually with this pink hair, this orange hair, this green hair, and blue hair, for what?
Well,
let me just say this.
Let me also add this, because I know Miss Terry was like, you know, this is the best her form of her expression. But Miss Terry, let's point out, you have your own business.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these women gotta go to work.
All right.
And some of these jobs are not gonna hire you. Look, it's crazy.
I know that's right,
like
because
they're
strong image for their company.
Right. So that's another thing that needs to be looked at is the appearance that you're trying to get a job, or either you're getting ready to walk into your job and people are looking at you like, what the heck is happening here?
Mm-hmm.
This girl got all these color hair, or the hair is just looking crazy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, come on now. You know what I'm saying?
That's
so,
why most professional jobs have dress codes, so there'd be some uniformity in the look because, you know, it also just say something about the company. You know, it's a level of professionalism. You know, now if you're in a hair salon kind of business, okay. If you work for Barnum & Bailey, you know, or something like that, okay. But, you know, if you're a lawyer, I don't want no damn clown representing me and my ass is on the line. You know, I might go to jail for life or something, and you come up there looking multicolored hair. Hell to the no. I need to feel comfortable in your dress code that you have the intelligence. And even though you might have it, you couldn't tell because of the dress code that you choose to wear when you're in a professional arena.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because some of these women that just look a hot mess.
Yeah,
I mean, and some of them are really not even attractive, and you know, they're not even attractive, and they make themselves look worse. But they make themselves stand out that much more when you got blue hair and you're a very unattractive woman. And that's basically, I'm serious. That's basically what you see. You see these gray big girls who got these double chins and. Big butt, big muffin top, and they got on their skirts up to their navel, and they look a hot mess.
Yeah, what about them chicks with the purple hair? But don't say purple. It gives me flashback of Barney. I ain't going to even go there.
Man, I hate Barney.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't get
stand Barney.
Purple. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's a hot mess, honey, the hot mess. But they do what they want to do, how they want to do it, and you know. But it couldn't be me, cause I like to, you know, be as presentable as possible when I'm out and about. But in the house, I just put on anything in the house, cause I'm in my own sanctuary.
Oh, yeah.
And if I want to be naked, I can be naked. But you know, when I go out, I try to be presentable. You know, and I'm basically a jeans person. Jean and t-shirt, but you know, just being a little bit presentable. And when I really got to go out, I, you know, get myself together. But some of these, it's just, I be looking at them, you know, and my brother, he has a thing like, because one time we was over at the flea market on Pennsylvania Avenue, And this woman, and I'm not going to lie about it, she looked like she was two of me. Mm-hmm. Now, you know my size. She was about two of me. So I couldn't stop looking at her because she had on a pair, what did she have on? I think she had on a pair of shorts or something, but she had all this cellulite. It was, oh, my God, she just looked a hot mess. And then she had on some sandals. Her toes was, like, gray, and they was just, she just looked like a mess. And
I don't get that when people do that, even go out to the beach, and, you know, they're really large, and the bathing suit don't look good. You know, I'm sorry, you know, as I get older, you know, there's some little flaws in the construction, but, you know, I try to conceal that. I ain't trying to let anybody see things that are not, you know, where they should look like, you know. And other people get out there and they be just brazen with that stuff, and I don't get it. I applaud their confidence level, but I don't understand it. Don't you look in the mirror before you went out the door?
Evidently, some of them don't. I actually believe some of them don't look in the mirror. They just put their stuff on, girl, and they had a little girlfriend sitting there. Girl, you look good. Yeah, wear that, girl, knowing daggone well, because when my niece would go shopping with me, and she would tell me stuff. Now, if I don't feel good in it, ain't no way in the world I'm going to let you tell me I look good in it. You see what I'm saying? Here go my niece talking about, no, that look good. I said, no, it don't. Yes, it do. No, it don't. If I don't feel good in it, your opinion ain't going to change nothing about it because I have to feel good in it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But you got your little girlfriends telling you, no, girl, you look good. You know you look good. Pull it up a little bit more. Make it a little bit shorter. Whatever. Mm-hmm. And I let somebody know if you don't look good in something, you know, I'm going to say, well, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't wear that. Or, you know, maybe you should take this off. You know, just be, you know, very nice and subtle. But, you know, I would say this to my dear friends, opposed to somebody who wouldn't listen anyway, you know. But maybe if Terry, if I see you something and something, you know, and I think it didn't look right, and I would say, well, Terry, I don't think that looks too good. Now, it still would be up to you whether or not you would, you know, you would say, well, I'm aware, whatever. But, you know, I just would give my honest opinion about it, you know. I wouldn't, you know, just be saying something out of spite or anything like that. But, you know, I think that's what friends should do for each other anyway. Because
you ought to be old enough to tell us.
Honey, one time, let me tell y'all this real quick. I was at the airport one time. And went in the bathroom and put a toilet seat thing on the cover, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I get out. It was me and my niece. We was on our way to New Orleans. So I come out the bathroom, and I didn't really pay any attention to, the toilet was an automatic flush toilet. So I got up, you know, wiped myself off, left and all this, and I washed my hands, da-da-da-da-da. So anyway, I'm walking around, and guess where the toilet seat cover was?
Sticking out your clothes.
Yep.
Oh, damn, girl. Ooh, that's embarrassing. Ain't nobody
saying
nothing.
We was walking side by side, but when I had, because we had stopped and was going to sit at a table, so she sat in the first seat. When I walked in front of her, she said, girl, you got a toilet seat coming.
Oh, my God.
I said, oh, my God. And, you know, I know everybody, people saw that, you know, but nobody was going to come and say anything. But if I had seen that on somebody, you know, I would have went up to them, you know, and, you know, tried to whisper to them, you know, is something in the back of you like that? You know, because I had to tell this lady one time that she had some toilet paper on the bottom of her shoe, you know, when we was in the store. You know, because there's nothing wrong with alerting somebody for something they don't know. Now, suppose my niece didn't see that.
That's right. Even like if someone got food in their teeth, you got something green on their teeth. You know, people, you know, that kills me, though. People will look at you and see something is out of order, whether it's food in your teeth or something on your clothes or a mark.
Or you got a boogie hanging out your nose.
Yeah.
Your mouth.
And you're talking to them, and they will still talk to you. Yeah, and they'll walk away and not say nothing. Right.
Well, open them up. That's what I'm talking about. Embarrassing when you're the person that you have to notice it because you happen to use the bathroom, and as you look in a mirror as you straighten yourself up, and then you notice some food in your hair or in your teeth, that make you feel stupid, you know, when you got to go back out there and face people and look at them and they ain't open their mouth.
Mm-hmm. Because I certainly let somebody know that when they got boogers hanging in their nose and stuff.
Oh, girl. Yeah, that's
And you know something else that used to really get on my nerve? When I used to work at the hospital, and this is basically white people do this. This is so nasty. We would, you know, be at breakfast, and everybody eat their breakfast. This one white girl, can't remember her name, but anyway, every time she finished eating her breakfast, she would blow her nose. One morning, we were sitting at breakfast. I was waiting for her. I said, and as soon as I saw her get her tissue, I said, I wish you would. What? I said, girl, that is the nastiest thing you could do. You're going to eat your food, and then you're going to blow your nose. I said, get up and go out of the cafeteria and blow your nose. You don't do no mess like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is just nasty. You're going to eat, be in a place of when you're eating and blow your nose.
I know. Anyways, you know, I don't want to see that around their food. But, you know, it's a shame, too, like sometimes when people, like you say, blow their nose and they think they wipe their nose good and they got something on the outside of their nose or hanging from their nose, you know.
Or in a beard or a mustache. Ugh, I hate it because this guy had taken me to lunch and he did the same thing. And I told him, I said, I don't mean no harm. I said, but, you know, I really would appreciate it that you don't blow your nose while I'm eating. I said, because that's nasty to me. I said, and you should have something in your mustache. Oh, that just turns. Just sit up there, just blowing your nose. That is just so, common sense would tell somebody. I mean, why can't you? That's just nasty.
Right. What did he say when you told him?
He said, I apologize. You know, he apologized and everything and went in the bathroom and cleaned his beard up and stuff, looking all nasty and stuff. And that was the last time I went out with him anyway, because he's,
Needless to say, listeners, he didn't get none when the date was over. All he got
he got a good, thank you, good night. That was it, and that's all.
Sent him on his way.
Nasty self, going to blow your nose.
Jane, I really like that observation that you had made about the people with the weird colored hair and stuff because, you know, but I got a question. I like to know, like, another thing that's in the news and everything. Like, for instance, I'm hearing a lot now. I just saw a show on TV about the secret societies, the Illuminati, you know, and different people that are part of that. And that's kind of scary because it just seems like, you know, in this last past week, everywhere I turn, I'm reading it or seeing it on TV or talking to people, and they're talking about the Illuminati and all these people in the entertainment field that's caught up in the secret society of the occult, of Satan worshipers.
Mm. Well, President Bush, President Clinton,
they said
Ford,
Obama.
All of them were Illuminatis.
Yeah, Reagan, Nixon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Beyonce.
I didn't know about Obama. Obama, too?
Yeah, Obama's shit was on there, too, because I saw it on E! News. I was watching E! News yesterday, and I said, what? And I called my mom. I said, I had a lady on my show talking about this kind of stuff. Now I'm seeing it on E! News. And then I saw it, you know, again. I said, what the heck? A movie about the secret society and the different symbols. Like you see stuff with a eye on it, like a pyramid or V form, or Snoop Dogg is one of them. And when they get the little signals when they're out, that's them, man. You know, and if they don't do right, they die. They gotta get rid of them. You know, if they don't follow the rules, and everybody part of that, they are powerful men. Rockefeller. They were talking about in New York how the Atlas, I mean, that thing Apollo holding up the world is right across from the church. It's like saying this is the difference between Satanism and the church, you know. And when they was doing that, you know, uncover stuff on E! News, I was amazed, and it's really true. I really believe that we're approaching the openness of Satanism in our face, like the end of days are coming because people don't care no more. Now they're talking about on the History Channel right now about the Star Children. They said these children, they are evil. They have their whole eye is just completely black, and they are proving that they're like hybrids from aliens and human. And they said they came to this world because they're evil, and they're children of the light who are nice and calm and everything. But these other kids come too, and if they approach you, come to your door, and you'll be between the ages up to maybe mid-teens, they will knock on your door and say, we're hungry, we need help. They say, close the door, because if you let them in, they will steal your soul. And that shit just freaked me the hell out. And it's on TV right now, and I'm not lying. If you got DirecTV, you can read it, you can see it for yourself on the History Channel.
Mm. Well, the Illuminati, yeah, that's a very powerful force. You know, like that was Kathy who was had that show the other week on your show, you know, like she was talking about, you know, Michael. They basically sold their souls to the devil.
Exactly.
And when he gets finished with you, then you die. That's what happened to Michael Jackson, because he wanted to, his last tour, he was giving up everything. So the devil said, well, okay, you cashing in, that's it, you gone. And what's the guy, the one, Paul White, the one who did the Fast and the Furious?
Yes, that young guy.
Yeah, they said he was getting ready to turn to Christianity, and look what happened to him. And if you, you know, if you check out, and just like the guy the other day, what's the one who just OD'd in New York?
Paul, somebody, Holland, wait, I know who you're talking about, because they showed his kid.
Right.
I know who you're talking about, but it's a tip of my tongue.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, well, they once they, the devil gets done with him, that's it. Your soul is bought. I mean, you sell your soul to the devil, and that's it. It's his. So whenever
exactly.
he wants
what you.
What you
don't understand is, you know, you might have fame on earth for however long that you have it, but once it's over, your eternity of pain, suffering, you know, heat, you know, everything that this horrible, you know, darkness, you know, that's your eternity. It will never get better. So you better try to make it through this world on your talents and do the right thing, because I'd rather be poor and have my soul living in eternity with Jesus than sit there and be rich for a minute and got to dwell with the Satan and his followers. Hell to the no.
Yeah, because that's why Stacey Lattisaw got out of what she was doing. She got out in time because they was trying to, you know, introduce her to drugs, introduce her to all those different things. Her story was on Unsung.
Really?
And, yeah.
What did
she
it say? I didn't see that.
Mm-hmm. It was on Unsung, and, you know, she was saying how they was trying to make her dance, you know, do all those gyrations and all that crazy stuff, and, you know, she said she just didn't want to do that. She didn't want to be out there in Hollywood, and, you know, so she stopped, you know, she cut it all off, and she's doing very well now. She's back into the church. I don't know if she's a minister or not, but she did write a book. And she still sings in the church, but you know she got away from that stuff because it's hell. Look at all the stuff that Chris Brown is. Look at Justin Bieber. He's acting just like a first class fool. And why? Because he got money and he done sold his soul to the devil, and he's just doing what he want to do. But trust and believe, it's gonna catch up with him. He's not gonna be here that long.
See,
something
even the Bible
is going.
Say, don't put your faith in worldly things. Because they will rot, you know, put your rewards up in heaven, you know, and, you know, like, people don't get it. You know, they might think that, okay, if I got 20 or 30 years as, you know, as a superstar, whatever, that's all I need. But they don't understand. Everybody is just passing through. This earth is not our home, you know, and when we die, eternity, you know, is where you want to be at. And I definitely don't want to be down there, you know, so people need to get it right. You know, you better just work on just being, you know, talented with the gifts that God gave you, and whatever level of success that you get, be happy with that, as long as you ain't homeless, you know. But, you know, you ask for the being a superstar along with that, even, you know, the problems with the paparazzis, you know, people stalking you, people trying to take you out because they got some bizarre attraction, a fatal attraction. So even with that wealth, comes a whole lot of bullshit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Look at Cat Williams. Remember what she said about Cat Williams? They trying to get rid of him.
Yeah, because he ain't for all that. And that made me feel good. That really made me feel good to know that he ain't for all that craziness.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But that Illuminati is something. A lot of them are mixed up in it, a lot of them. You know, just like I had mentioned on that last show, Chris Brown had a song out that speaks of the devil.
You know, they got, huh? For real? He had a song
talking
about
it? Yeah, I don't know
it?
The name of the song, but if you put, I can't, but it's a song that, because what they believe is that God had cast Satan out of heaven for no reason, and they want, Satan wants them to be mad at God because he, you know, wants them to believe that he was cast out for no reason, blah, 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 blah. And then in the song he's singing about, I forget, it's some angel or something, but and he's saying words about that.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it on YouTube. I'm going to see if I can't pull it up or remember what it was. But, yeah, they sing songs about the devil, and they got movies about the devil, and people don't realize it. What's that movie that Keanu Reeves and I think I see his name in front of my face, the one who played the Godfather, Al Pacino.
Brando?
Yeah, Al Pacino,
mm-hmm.
and Keanu Reeves played in the movie,
oh, okay.
The Devil's Advocate. Yeah.
Okay, I remember that. Isn't that something?
Yeah, now that movie was really something, because Al Pacino, he even looked like a devil in that movie. He was so slick and so cunning, you know, everything he did, because that's how the devil is. And he can come, and people don't realize it, that he can come in any form he wants.
Mm-hmm. And when he come, he'll come in the form of somebody nice, somebody very attractive, because every way that the devil is portrayed in the Bible, he's a beautiful creature because
he was
the angel of praise. He was an archangel. He was way up there, you know. He was one of the most beautiful angels. Yeah. So God cast out one third of the angels in heaven, you know. And so you know that he know his time is almost up. So he's trying to round up as many people on his side because he know the battle is coming.
Yeah.
You know, I just think about Beyonce, you know, and how she be gyrating, like how she, you know, and how she be shaking her butt. You know, the last time I saw her on TV, that thing was inside of her coochie so nasty, you can almost see her vaginal lips on the outside of the material. I said, this
mm-hmm.
is nasty. And she up there with her
husband.
There's
a picture where
you
can see between her legs.
Yeah, I just said, ooh. I mean,
yeah.
I couldn't believe it, you know. And they
and Blue Ivy, has anybody ever seen that baby smile? I have never seen her smile. Never.
Wow.
Never
what
seen
kind
her
of damn
smile.
Baby that anyway, Blue Ivy. What the hell? You gonna name somebody a name that got
they
two
had
parts,
the meaning
two?
on they had the meaning somewhere I had read what the meaning was, but it's related to the devil.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, snap.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's...
That kind of scared me, especially it's nighttime, and we're talking about this kind of shit, man. I hope I don't have no nightmares. Dear Lord, please don't want to have no nightmares. This is freaking...
Well, hey, we can talk about... Do you watch the Housewives? You watch the Housewives of Atlanta, right?
Yes, I do.
You watch it too, Jade, right?
Sometimes a little bit of it.
Oh, did you watch it the last time it was on?
No, the week before that I did.
That was the one where Apollo beat the crap out of what's her name's assistant.
What's that? Her cousin?
Kenya's assistant. No, that's her assistant.
I thought it was her cousin, but anyway, Apollo had nothing to do with it. I didn't know why he jumped in there like that, acting crazy.
Well, you know, Apollo is going through some things because, number one, he got arrested for bank fraud and identity theft.
Mm-hmm.
And Phaedra is claiming that she don't know anything about it, but how they did it was they made up all these different companies and was defrauding people. Yeah, different name companies and, you know, getting people's identity and then, you know, I guess going in their bank accounts or some kind of way, but they up for identity theft. Well, he is. And bank fraud.
Yeah, well, I read that too. It said what they was doing, they had these companies, and they took the names of people, and they was writing checks and cashing those checks. It was about a mortgage, a real estate thing was one of them, and one was about different cars. It has to be
and one
a
was
car.
An exercise, a gym or something that Apollo was supposed to have.
That Phaedra was up in that crap too, but you know something? The hell, she got his ass from jail. You know when you go to jail, people don't think you go to jail and you come back out brand new. When you go to jail, you come out a worse criminal than the one you was before you go in there. Shit, you
because he basically
in
was in jail the first time for the same thing, some type of fraud.
That's right, and he ain't got no company, you know, so he had to create some sort of income. Where else would he got an income from? He not in the funeral business with Phaedra. He ain't no damn lawyer. So how he all of a sudden he got so much money, he go to work? Who going to hire him? Cause
and then what was he doing in the strip club dropping $8,000?
Yeah.
In a strip club.
Which means he also was sleeping with them people, too, because ain't nobody $8,000 one night, give that kind of money to somebody, and she ain't going to give you some head, or y'all going to go in the back room somewhere and make it do what it do.
I know that's right.
Yeah, please, give me a break.
I know that's right, yep. But, yeah, Phaedra, she got her. She just, she's a nervous wreck now because they're trying to say that she, well, she's trying to say that she didn't know anything about his business. But if me and my husband, I'm going to know everything about his business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just how it's going to be because you bringing money. Where's this money coming from? I got to know because if it's drug money or whatever, I have got to know because ain't
nowhere
in the world it's going to
come. That's when he got no skills when he got out of jail. All he got was Phaedra. Ain't nobody hired him. And so you're right, Gail. She had to know when she sleep with that man what you're doing, you know. And now, you know, what's she going to do? Is she going to be his lawyer?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Well, she better be good if she try to perpetrate that she is because, for real, yeah, I heard that she took care of Bobby Brown back in the day, but I ain't heard her do anything recently. And I don't even hear about her even going to the office to do any lawyer work. All I hear about is trying to get a job as a mortician.
Yeah. Yeah,
so if
well,
she rusty on her skills, she better hone up because she's going to need to save Apollo and her ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the truth, child. That's the truth. And that daggone
Donkey Donk, she's going to be in trouble.
Yep. And that daggone Kenya talking about she want to have a baby and her, she want to go to a sperm donor. Yeah. She got a man in Africa. Why are you going and getting a sperm donor? She ain't got no man. I don't believe a man can put up with her because, number one, she's too conceited. She's bossy, and she's
like her dad.
Yeah, because her father came in there. What is this? This ain't right. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, she is. They are two of a kind.
But, you know, she's going to go to a sperm bank and get artificially inseminated, you know. But whatever it takes, I hope she do get pregnant because since she didn't have no contact with her own mother, she would be a good mother to love on somebody because she have to deal with abandonment issues herself. So that means that she would pull all that pent-up resentment that she felt towards her own mother, and she will love a child, you know, and that's good to have a parent that's going to love a child instead of all these people having babies out here that they ain't taking care of, and they becoming latchkey kids, and someone else is watching your child while you out there whoring around making more babies and thinking the welfare is going to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's something. What about all these women waiting for their income tax so they can buy their boyfriend this and buy their boyfriend that, and the kids, you walking around looking like a clothes ragged in a bowl of yacht.
Mm-hmm. It pisses me off every first of the month, too. I notice that guys, they will come over. I will watch their behavior where I used to live at. They will come over the first week of the month while the women had money, and the women would be fixing dinner. You can smell food coming out the house, and, you know, they'd be having all this sex. The next second week, when the money is gone because you have to pay the rest of your bills, he's gone too, and he comes back right at the beginning of the month again, and they don't get it. They don't see it.
Man, that's crazy. They're talking about now stopping, like if, okay, what they're going to do, I read this on the Internet, they're going to women, say like if I'm on the welfare and I got three kids, right, if I had another baby, that baby going to be short because I ain't getting no money for that baby. That's how they're going to do that. But I think that's well, to me, because when I was pregnant with my kids back in the day, they had different programs. Because I used to receive public assistance, but they had programs that you can get involved in, so you can get housing, you can get a job, blah 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 blah. You can climb that ladder and get to where you want to go. But now these mothers, all they do is have baby after baby after baby after baby after baby, become dependent on this welfare money. Dependent on these food stamps, dependent on these, you know, different things that people who really need them are being cut short, you know. And I don't see, I think that's what they need to do, because maybe a woman would stop and think, well, I don't think I should have no more babies. I don't get no money for this baby. You know, give them something to think about, opposed to if I have another baby, I'm going to get more money on my check. I'm going to get more food stamps. I'm going to get a bigger house. And no, no, no. You're going to have, that's all you're getting for the three kids you got. You have another baby. That baby going to be short. You get your butt up, get in the program, get a job, get off the welfare, get, you know, your own place, you know, stuff like that. Because I had to go through that. I lived in the projects, shelter, you know, all those types of things. Until I just went through a program, got on my feet, you know, got my own apartment, you know, and then it was off to the races, you know, just that was, right. I never looked back. But you got, you know, women that just don't, they don't think like that. All they want to do is just stay home, laid up under these no-good bums, have babies by every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the neighborhood. Every child got a different father. You know, come on.
Yes, that's crazy, but you're absolutely correct. Well, I know Miss Jade over there. I know Miss Erotic Queen. I know she got something to say about that, darling.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about something else, okay? We'll be right back.
All right.
Hi, I'm Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm more than just a radio personality. I'm also a best-selling author of 5 published books, publisher, ghostwriter, poet, and a speaker. My latest book, a fast-paced, action-packed, drama-filled novel titled Back to Zero, is available. You can order your autographed copies of Back to Zero and any of my books from my website at www.deliciousbooks.webs.com/apps/webstore/. If you're looking to have your dreams come true in a book, look no further. I am the founder and owner of my own independent publishing company, JJ Publishing. JJ Publishing offers service to fit the new or seasoned author's budget. There are no hidden fees. I display a professional business attitude towards my client while treating them with dignity and respect. My mission is to make the first-time author as well as the seasoned author's use of JJ Publishing services a most beneficial and memorable experience. Back to Zero is selling out fast. Don't be left out. Go to my website. Again, that address is www.deliciousbooks.webs.com/apps/webstore/. After you make your purchase, check out my website. I thank you all in advance.
And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance. I hope you dance. I hope you dance. I hope you never fear those mountains in the distance. And never settle for the path of least resistance. Living might mean taking chances, but they're worth saving. Loving might be a mistake, but it's worth the making. Your system held it hard, leave you bitter. When you come close to selling out,
let's say we just head north.
Give the heavens above more than just a passing glance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. Oh, oh, I hope you dance. Moving up along, dance. Oh yeah. Oh. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance,
Oh, that's Gladys Knight.
You still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more. Promise me you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you have the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you did.
All righty, then. That was Gladys Knight singing I Hope You Dance. I think that ending part was about Alfred Woodard, who played in the movie The Family That Prays Together. If you saw that, that was an awesome movie. I really did like that, you know, because all the actors were.
Movie.
Yes. Yes, everybody in there was superb. Sinai, Nathan, what's that girl's name? Her sister.
Najee. I mean, not Najee, the one who did the wars with Terrence Howard. I know who you're talking about, but
yeah.
That was a great, great show. Tyler Price, he's doing so many wonderful things, you know. And I thank God for him and his ability, you know, because he not only put people to work, you know, he's a humanitarian. He does a lot of wonderful things. And I wish people get out of his business about his personal life, you know, and just see the man that he is and how he helps society, you know. And I just want to say, Gail, I mean, I enjoyed hanging out for a minute with you and Jade, but my phone has been off the hook earlier, and it's just getting ready to die, and I don't want to just die while I'm talking. So if I ease out quietly, you know that's why, because it's beeping.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
well, do you girls watch the Have and the Have-Nots?
Yes, I do, girl.
Do you, Jay?
I do not. But someone was telling me at work that I need to watch that, so I said I am going to.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do, girl.
Mm-hmm.
It is hot. You hear me? I don't think Scandal got nothing on the Haves and the Have Not. Not that I've watched. I tried to watch an episode of Scandal, but I really couldn't get in. Have and the Have Nots is on fire.
Yes.
Yes, it is. It is so good. I watched it from the beginning, the very first episode they had to the president. I hope I can, you know, watch them all the way through when it's done. But it is something, the Have and the Have Nots. Now, I know you watch Mary Jane, right?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Do you watch Mary Jane, Terry?
Sure do, girl.
I know that's right. Now, that is something.
I like the dirt.
Mary Jane, woo, she is something. And that guy,
man,
Omari.
Y'all know, y'all need to recognize these sisters and brothers, man. You know, I just think, you know, it's strange, but I'm just going to say it anyway. You know, I think this is our time. You know, I think black people has finally made it, you know, not only with Obama, but it's our time to shine, because there's been a time where you would hardly ever see a black person in a movie. And if you did, you would see him with big buck eyes looking all stupid like, yes, sir, boss.
Being a
yes.
slave or a waitress or a butler or something.
I'm just so proud of people of color right now, because they are opening doors. And some doors they had to create, because wasn't nobody trying to hire us. Spike Lee came along. All right, and other ones that open doors on a major scale to get black people out there in the front. Now I'm looking at a commercial where they got a white wife and a black guy and a little pretty little girl. She putting Cheerios on her husband on her daddy's chest because she wanted him to have good heart. You know, I said, mixed couple. They got the little baby in a stroller, a Chinese man and a black woman, and the baby said, "Does it bother anybody if the mime is talking?" You know,
I saw that.
You know,
what about the one that the white guy that has one arm and the black wife? But, you know, everybody has something to say about that, you know, because still, even though we've come a long way, we still are not there, because the Ku Klux Klan will forever be around. There are policemen, our judges, the teachers. You know, they're just so out there until they're always going to have something to say, you know, about nigger this, nigger that, blah, 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 blah. You know, even here on Blog Talk, we go through that, you know, when they feel like they want to come on a show and, you know, spew all that hatred and stuff like that. And my thing is, if the world was made for one race, then how come it's all different races on earth? You see what I'm saying? It's not no such thing as a pure white race and a pure black race and pure this and pure that, because they've all mingled to some degree on this earth. you know. So as far as, like, people being prejudiced and spewing all that hatred towards, you know, the black race or any other race for that matter, because every race, I believe, has suffered some type of trauma due to the white race.
Exactly.
They just did so much damage to this earth and the people on it till it ain't funny. You know, so.
Right.
And then they, you know, then they think they're just so superior. But it's not like that. But that race is going to be extinct one day. Because they're just so evil. And not to say that all white people are like that, but
you know,
I was talking to somebody. Right. This guy, he was dating this white girl, right? So he said, we got into a fight. I said, what was y'all fighting about? She going to call me a nigger. I said, well, what did you expect? What did you expect? Because that's what you are to her. So, you know, when you went into that relationship, you should have always had that in the back of your mind. One day this woman going to call me out my name. And that's how they do. They do that because I had a girlfriend who was mad about something. And she said, that nigger bitch. And I said, wait, who are you talking about? She said, no, I don't mean no harm. She said, but she really did piss me off and blah, 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 blah. So I'm saying to myself, well, she calls somebody else a nigger bitch. What would she call me one day? You see what I'm saying?
On your back. Just
right,
don't call
right.
me mammy.
Right. You always have to be prepared for it because they are, you know, the one
they
of the races.
The supreme race, you know, because that's the way they was raised. You know, nothing personal.
Right.
Like, we're raised that we know it's a struggle being black. We got to work harder and get a better education to be looked at with the same level, a playing field. So, you know, they were just raised to think, okay, we're subservient to them, you know, and that's all they know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, but I don't know, but it's just a shame that, you know. But like you said, we have come a long way from being just the maids in movies and the butlers in movies and the mammies in movies and all that kind of stuff. Now they're even having it so that, you know, we'd be in movies and be with, you know, have, you know, be mixed, you know. Because I had this article where back in when TV first started, they said a black person, the only thing that they could be in a movie is a slave or a butler or a maid, you know, stuff like that. And that's not what we're all about. Because look at all the different inventions and things that, you know, the black race has done. You know, just learning different things that, you know, black man created the stoplights and black woman created the ironing board and you know, different things like that. And even they even lie about things that, you know, they want to take the credit from the black man for things that he's invented. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's a mess, but needless to say, so. But Mary Jane, this little episode here really wasn't, it really wasn't too... let me see, how can I say it? Did you see it, first of all? Did you see it?
Yes.
What did you think of it?
It was something else. The response that she was given when she went up on stage, on the podium, with, you know, when she was talking to the wife, the message behind it is something else. I just think it's entertaining for me,
right.
But I am not in agreement with stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
but,
for real life.
You know, to
yeah,
see
because...
how right to see how the wife is struggling to try to keep her marriage going. You know.
And did
I think
he
it's
say...
very interesting because they now it seems like they have a lot of stuff that's
that they're showing you to give to your imagination, to kind of add to your imagination and the entertainment. They want, this is on BET, right? I can't remember. This is on BET, right?
Yeah.
Like when she first came on, she did, it was a segment, and she was getting ready to go out on a date, and this is when she decided she was going to leave him alone, and she was going to go out and date. I can't remember that light-skinned guy that she went out with. And I don't know if you've seen the part where she used the vibrator just before she went out with him.
Yeah, I think I did see that.
And I'm like, wow, BET has kind of come up a long way because I don't remember seeing anything daring like that on BET before.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, now what I wanted to kind of chime in and say regarding that and the movie with, what is it that everybody likes? With the president and the girl. What is that called?
Scandal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is what they are trying to depict and draw our black women into, you know, with these kind of movies. However, the thing about it is they are entertaining. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it does send a message. And I think that it kind of sometimes not molds, but it does something to a younger mind who is watching that and think that this is entertaining, but maybe this is how it's supposed to be.
Right,
because
they can't differentiate the difference from reality and just being something that's on television.
Exactly. And if they're young teenagers or something and they see that, and like with being Mary Jane, this wife is trying to keep her marriage or whatever. So if they're in a relationship and their boyfriend decides he's going to cheat or whatever, instead of her leaving, she may think this movie may be encouraging to say, well, maybe I need to stay. Maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing that I kind of be like a little taken back with, but at the same time, it is entertaining. So it's interesting how someone can be so artistic within a movie to create something that causes you to say, you know, I'm so against this, but damn, I love watching it.
That's
so,
the truth.
Yeah.
That is true, because you know when a scandal, how all the guys were saying, well, she's doing all this infidelity, and women be always talking about they want a good man, and they into this, and they accepting this and that, and da-da-da-da. But the difference is if somebody who watches that understands that this is just entertainment opposed to trying to do what, what's the girl's name in Scandal, what they call her?
I don't know, the president.
Okay. Whatever, you know, instead of, you know, doing, because, you know, she had on this coat, and I noticed everybody put, where'd she get that coat? Ooh, that's bad, and then somebody put on it, I know where she got it, it cost this amount, I'm going to get me one, you know, come on, you know, I just can't, number one, I'm not a designer person, I'm not all into Gucci and Prada and all this other kind of stuff, you know, because it's just not my thing. But people just go crazy over some of the things they see on television. They get hooked up and all this whole crazy stuff, but not me, girl. I'm just, you know, get whatever I can get and call it a day. But, yeah, the Mary Jane is something, because when she, and then she's always pushing him away, but then she, like when they was at the gym. Remember when they was at the gym? And she talking about, no. Then the next thing you know, they in there doing it in the gym.
In the shower.
She says she loves him. She is in love with him. But what he needs to do is he needs to either divorce his wife and go on and be with her, because I think he proposed to her. He needs to divorce his wife.
No, he said he was divorcing his wife. That's what he told her. He said, I never told you that I was going to divorce my wife, and I asked her for a divorce today. So after whatever went on with the therapy, now he has asked for divorce. Now, we didn't see that, but when he went to Mary Jane and tried to ask if she went on her date, that's when he told her that he was going to leave his wife.
Oh, okay, because, you know, and then his wife was telling him something about how somebody else had gotten a divorce, and she had gotten a house, and she had gotten this, and she got the kids, and this, and they said, you will never, get my kids, or something he had said to her. But see, this is the thing. Why do women threaten men with taking their children from them? That's the lowest thing you can do, especially if, you know, say, like, if me and my husband, we got into an argument, or I caught him cheating or whatever. You know, the kids really didn't have anything to do with that. You see what I'm saying? Especially the fact that they don't know, you know, but I may say, well, you know, get the kids together and say, well, look, me and your dad, we're going to get a divorce because we're having irreconcilable differences in our marriage, and, you know, y'all still can see your dad anytime you want to see him. You go spend whatever time you want to spend with him and stuff like that. But, you know, women, the first thing, and you'll never see your children again. What is that all about? That seems selfish to me, and that makes me think that that's because he don't want to be bothered with you, and you already know that. So the way you can punish him is to tell him you cannot see your kids anymore, and I think that's a low point in a woman's life when she takes her children out of their father's life, especially if he's good to them kids and always been supportive of them, you know, and just took care of them, you know, the proper way that a father would. Then all of a sudden, when y'all get a divorce, the kids can't see their father no more. That's why a lot of these kids come from these divorced homes. The kids grow up, they crazy, or they become just out of control, you know, opposed to let them kids still see their father. Let them spend the summer with them. Let them spend as much time with them as they can, you know, to keep that balance. Because some of these kids, they can't handle that divorce stuff, girl. They get to striking out and hating their parents and wanting to kill the mother and, you know, them white kids like that. But, just go on and let your children still, you know, don't do that to your children, women. Anybody out there listening to this, don't do that to your children. You're doing a very disservice to them. And it can affect them mentally. So, you know, if you want to have a bunch of basket cases on your hands, then do it. But I'm just saying, I would never do that to my children's father. You know, even though my son's father wasn't, I ain't even gonna go there about him. But you know, I still would never, you know, deny him the right, you know, to ever see his child. The times when he did, but you know, you got all kinds, girl. But yeah, Mary Jane is something. I'm just dying to see how this is going to turn out. Is he going to really divorce his wife, or you know, what's going to happen? Because something's going to have to happen. Something is going to have to happen.
No, because he's going to have to have.
Huh?
I was going to say. Go ahead and finish. Yeah,
it's something's
going
to have
to happen. Season just started.
But you know, the fact of the matter is, how is he gonna be holding on to these two women? His wife Eva's gonna do something crazy, or something, you know, is gonna have to rev this up. His wife may commit suicide or something, you know, but whatever, something's gonna have to be done. But yeah, I like being Mary Jane. Yeah, that's my mess on, come on, Tuesday night, right after the Have and the Have-Nots. Yeah, right after the Have and the Have-Nots. Come on, so I ain't missing nothing. The Have and the Have-Nots is hot. My daughter's into Scandal, but she said, Ma, you need to watch that. But like I said, I tried to watch one of the episodes, and I couldn't get into it. Maybe if I watched it from the beginning, but it never really interested me when it even first came on. You know, so I don't know, but people be putting on Facebook, don't disturb me, I'm watching Scandal, and leave me alone, the kids in the bed, blah, 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 blah. going crazy with it, but I don't know, girl. I don't know. I just have my little picks and things, and I watched. You say you don't watch Love and Hip Hop neither. And that girl, that guy on there named Peter Gunn. I think he. Well, you don't know anything about it, but I'm just gonna say this. He has got to be one crazy fool. He was with this girl and got her pregnant, and I think they had two kids. Then he married another girl and was keeping that a secret for the longest time. But he loved the first girl he had the kids by, was living with her and all this kind of stuff. So then he had the audacity to say he loved both of them. He wanted both of them. Nigga, please. But anyway, his baby mama, she done cut him off, and the girl, they had the reunion Monday, part one. Girl, they was fighting all up on there, not her, and but when he confronted his baby mama, the girl, his wife, they made a song singing about incidents between the baby girl, just crazy stuff, just so crazy, but. You know, I like that crazy every once in a while. You know, and sometimes, girl, I be just sitting up here just be cracking up because it just don't seem real, some of the stuff they be doing on it. Another guy, he brings a girl into their home, and the girl comes home and finds a strand of hair in the bed, and he telling her, well, no, she just came over because I told you that she had came over and her makeup was on the pillow, so that means she was laying in the bed. So then he going to turn around and ask the girl to marry him. He said no, so they had the reunion, and he practically cursed her out. But whatever, nigga, you mean to tell me I'm going to come home and see makeup on my pillows and a strand of hair, and you mad at me? Get a life. Yeah, girl, but it's just crazy. It's just crazy. So we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up this tonight's show of Open Topic. Okay?
All right.
indeed, and that was Jackie Ross, Selfish One. I love that song. Okay, well, I'm here this evening having an open topic with my girl Jade. Terry was here a moment ago, but she had to leave, was having some little problems with her phone. But in any event, we're back, but we're going to be shutting the show down because it's been an hour and a half. Can you believe that?
It just goes by so fast.
Yes,
especially when you're having fun.
That is so true, girl. It just goes by so fast. I really had intended to do it for an hour, but I set it for an hour and a half. So whatever, we only have a few minutes left in the show anyway. So, Jay, let everybody know where you're at and what you're doing on Blog Talk Radio and on the Worldwide Media.
Oh, of course. They can find me on Thursday night along with you being my co-host on Erotic Talk Radio. And on Saturday night, I do slow jams, erotic slow jams on, you know, the special music at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Thursdays is 9 p.m. Eastern Time for some erotic talk and entertainment. And you can check us out on Facebook. You want to go to Erotic Talk Radio, search for that, and then ask to join our group page. That way you can get into some of our juicy discussions. And I just want to add that every other Saturday, I'm going to start doing poetry night. So the 15th, we're going to have poetry night if you all want to join us.
Right. Y'all come on, bring out your little erotic short stories, erotic poetry, erotic spoken word, and, you know, come on over to the Love Zone, the G-Spot Love Zone over there every Saturday at 10:30 p.m. And, you know, like she's going to be doing that every other weekend, and I think this is the Saturday that you're going to be doing. Is that next Saturday?
Next Saturday. This Saturday is
going
to be my musical.
Okay, the 15th. Yeah, so get your little short stories together, get y'all's spoken word, poetry, and get all that erotic stuff together and drop it on over there at the Love Zone. And myself, yeah. I'm here every first Friday of the month. Like I said, we've been on hiatus for a minute, bringing, you know, the talking about open topics, and we're back. And every Wednesday, I'm bringing Sexy back over there at 10:30 p.m. We'd be discussing things from sex or current events or whatever. You know, that's every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. And on Sunday, you have got to come on down to Gail's Blues Joint, where I play the blues and sassy music. Then the last Friday of the month, I'm doing my musical show, which is happy hour, slow jam, house music, or whatever, and I play it from the 50s on up. So you don't want to miss me there. And that's on this segment, Delicious Talk, where I have a couple of segments going on, but, you know, just that's over there, Delicious Talk. And I'm also on Facebook at facebook.com/ Gail Delicious Johnson. I have a fan page on there. That's facebook.com/ JJ Publishing. Please go over there and friend me and like my pages and, you know, keep up with me because I'll definitely keep up with you. I'm also an author, poet, ghostwriter, speaker, actress. You know, I'm just doing so many things, but and if you want to go to my website, you can go to jjpublishing.com. That's J-A-Y, J-A-Y, publishing.com. And anything else you need to know, you can just Google me at Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm out there. And, you know, I hope everybody have a rest of the weekend. You know, have a beautiful weekend. And if y'all driving, don't drink. If you're drinking, don't drive. I love talking to you guys, not about you. So with that being said, everybody have a beautiful weekend. Thanks, Jay, for hanging out with me this evening. I do appreciate that.
Oh, thank
that.
You. I enjoyed this show. I can't wait to do it again.
Right. Well, you will, darling. So everybody have a wonderful evening. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night, Miss Gail.
Good night, darling.
My Nana got the best radio show on the Internet.